The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up the wills of your faithful people, Lord God, and open our ears to the words of your prophets, that, anointed by your Spirit, we may testify to your light. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Word, Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are a people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 126 responsibly. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, then were we like those who dream.
Then our mouths are now filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them.
The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad indeed.
Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses of the Negev.
Those who sowed with tears will reap with songs of joy.
Those who are weeping, carrying the seed, will come in with joy, shouldering their sheaves.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, it is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Second reading is from 1 Thessalonians. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia.
Holy Gospel according to John. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you a prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now, they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the prophet nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. One among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
O Christ. Last Sunday, Vicar Joshua preached about John the Baptist. He told us about how the Gospel of Mark gives us such a description of this precursor of Jesus. We were told about this man of the desert who dressed in camel's hair with a leather belt and ate wild honey and locusts. And we heard how he called people to repentance through forgiveness of sin, how he baptized people in the River Jordan. John is really the personification of Advent. And today, on the third Sunday of Advent, we hear about John again. But this time, we hear about John not from the Gospel of Mark, but from the Gospel of John, the evangelist, who takes a different look at this Advent personality. According to this reading, he's not so much John the Baptizer, as we heard last Sunday, but rather John the Witness, or John the Testifier. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. John, sent from God as a witness to testify to the light. The light, the Word, the Logos, has been with God and is God since before creation. In this first chapter of John's Gospel, we learned about this light that is Jesus Christ. When I was in Turkey last fall, I visited the city of Iznik. Has anybody been to Iznik, Turkey? Yeah, I didn't think so. It's just a little teeny burg in the middle, in the northwestern part of Turkey. It's not on the cruise line ships, so people go to Istanbul and go to Ephesus, but they don't usually go inland very much. And one of the things about Iznik, they have a great tile making workshops and great museum. And they make Isnik tiles. And those are the tiles that you see if you visit Istanbul and you see the Blue Mosque. Those tiles were made in Isnik. And so Isnik is very famous for its tiles, but it's also famous for something else. I visited these workshops and went to the museum. I didn't buy any Isnik tiles or pieces of pottery. They were absolutely beautiful and absolutely very expensive. But I was thrilled to be there and to visit the building where the Nicene Creed was crafted in the 4th century. Christians from all over the world stand Sunday by Sunday and state their creed in these words: Jesus Christ, God from God, light from light, true God from true God. Being in Isnik, standing, I couldn't get into the building. They were doing some structural renovation and it was all closed off and scaffolded, and but I stood on the steps. Isnik used to be called Nicaea, and it was a great experience to be there. And I also got to see the building in Istanbul that was once a church, then a mosque, then a museum, the Hagia Sophia, and it was in that building that I got to go in. It was inside that building where the Nicene Creed was finally put to paper. It took about 60 years for the ideas that were discussed and debated in Isnik, in Nicaea, to be written down, finally formulated in Istanbul. In Nicaea, they didn't have any instant transmission of their thoughts like we got with the internet now. They didn't have any amazing secretary like Gail Bennett that takes notes and gets it done today. It took 60 years to get that done. And we've been saying those words ever since. Jesus Christ, God from God, light from light. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light. That same light became flesh and dwelt among us. That light took on human flesh and pitched his tent among us. Jesus Christ, that living word, living among us, born in Bethlehem in meager surroundings, living among us, would one day enter his hometown synagogue and read from the prophet Isaiah and declare that today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus proclaims that the time is now, that we should begin living out that vision of salvation, that mission that Isaiah declared. This is the time for this salvation is a reality, to be a reality now, to live as the world should be. This is the vision of salvation and mission that John was sent to witness to. A witness is supposed to testify to what they have seen or heard, or to attest to the truth of somebody else's witness. This was John's role. He was to recognize the true light that comes into the world, a light that the darkness could not overcome. He was to call attention to that light so that others might recognize it and believe. And this kind of believing was not just a cognitive action, but it's an active trust, a commitment to the light. John, the witness, John, the testifier, invites us into that action of belief, that participation in the fulfillment of Isaiah's vision. We are not called to just notice the light. It's not enough to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock in the morning and look at the light. It's not enough to notice that it happened, either last Saturday night in the lunar eclipse, to notice that it happened, or even 2,000 years ago, to notice that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. We are called not to just notice the light, but to let it shine through our lives in such a way that we can be a light to the nations. John was sent from God to testify to the light. He didn't come to get everybody geared up to decorate for Christmas. He didn't come to announce the beginning of the Christmas shopping season. He didn't come to stir up our desire to wear red and eat peppermint candy canes. Now that all might be well and good. It is. It is good. But that's not why John came. John, the witness, John, the testifier, he wants our attention. He came to remind us and to bear witness to all who will listen that the darkest forces of the world are not as powerful as they seem, not as powerful as they claim to be, not as dark as they appear to be. We begin this third Sunday of Advent by praying, stir up the wills of your faithful people that we may testify to your light. You all said amen to that prayer this morning. Are you able to say amen to that in a way that makes a difference in your life? Are you allowing God to stir up things within you and within our congregation? Are you willing to open your heart during this Advent season to be stirred up to testify in the church and in all nations so that we might follow that example of John, a man sent from God? And in our baptisms, that is exactly who we have become. We are people sent from God to witness, to testify to the light. Could it be, and I think it is, that as we bear witness and proclaim the joy of this season, the glory of the light, that we become the body of Christ, proclaiming this light to a world that seems increasingly desperate to see and to know the light? People look to us to see the light. When we bear witness to the light, we too begin to see clearer and understand more completely that the salvation and the ministry announced by Isaiah and proclaimed by Jesus is not a time and a place in the distant future after our death. Jesus wasn't talking, Isaiah wasn't talking about heaven in the sense of beyond us, but was talking about heaven on earth, the kingdom come. What is the reality here? The good news isn't about that long distant future. The good news is for now. The good news is here. The good news is that we have been baptized and anointed to participate in proclaiming this light, and proclaiming this light that we shine out into the dark corners of our own hearts, the dark corners of our families and community, and indeed our whole planet. We proclaim a world of hope where the oppressed hear the good news, where the brokenhearted dare to love and to trust again. Those who are held captive behind fences or addictions or fears are set free. Where ashes are traded for garlands, tears of sadness are turned into tears of joy, and faint spirits and shy people shout out God's praise. Thanks be to God that we have been called to participate in this mission of proclaiming Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Thanks be to God that we can proclaim that light to the darkest places in our own hearts and in our families, in our communities, and indeed to all the nations. Jesus, light of the world, shine your light on us, that we might share that light. Amen.